Laundry. 1-800-449-8686.
Carl Mizzle joins us, and I understand you're doing some shopping, Carl?
Right, I'm actually in the supermarket right now, Phil. I'm trying to do some shopping here before the market closes, but not having too much success right now trying to get my dinner together.
You've written a book on the monarchy in Britain, and the British monarchy.
Yes.
Is undergoing a lot of it has a lot of problems right now, doesn't it?
Well, the monarchy in Great Britain is doing just fine. It's not doing badly at all. The scandals, these things come out periodically. But I think that what I've heard in the States, in the United States, in the press here, is that the Americans love to bash the Queen. And I think it would do all Americans well to remember that the Brits are the ones that are backing you up in Iraq. And if you are going to make fun of the Queen of England, it doesn't show much respect for the only allies, the only true allies that you have in this war on Iraq. So I would watch what you say, or you could see a few billion dollars worth of British hardware and men suddenly disappear from the sands of Saudi Arabia.
This is what Americans do, though. We like to make fun of the monarchy over there.
Well, it's nice that's what you do. I'm telling you that it's not smart when you are relying upon the Brits as your ally. And my book, Time and Place, The Monarchy in America, is about, really, the benefits of monarchy and how the American people, who at no time in the history of the American people been less involved with their government, and probably at no time in their history of the American people been more desirous of a single unifying leader than now. And that's why I wrote the book.
Well, it's not going to happen. You're never going to get a monarchy in the United States. It wouldn't happen in a million years.
Well, it may not happen, but what I'm saying is, as a foreigner, I can see what's happened to this country. The American people have become ripe to be led around by the nose, but in a good way. When you're not being...
How can one be led around by the nose in a good way?
Well, you're not being very effective, are you, with your government? When you aren't pursuing business, when you have become vulnerable to attack, and when you've come to accept the death of 3,000 of your countrymen as an acceptable thing, you're ready to be straightened out a little bit by a king, I would think.
I would have to tell you that we have not accepted the death of 3,000 people. And I suppose what you're referring to is our inability to get involved in our politics.
Well, the American people love to talk about democracy, but they're very short on participating in it. And what we have seen as a result of that is the attack on your country in 9/11 and the destruction of property and people. I think that a monarchy in America is the kind of solution that the American people deep down desire, because it means there is one unified voice, one decision maker, and the American people they don't have to make decisions themselves. Someone else is making the decision.
Well, what is an example of a successful monarchy? Great Britain?
Well, I would think so. I would.
How? I mean, you got a scandal over there. You've got a gay rape.
I've noticed the press in America is focusing on this gay rape. I'm very very amused by that.
Well, it's bizarre, and the Queen and the Prince, and it's just a bunch of overindulged people.
Well, you don't understand the monarchy very well. We've had monarchy in Britain for thousands of years. They're doing just fine, thank you very much. And by the way, I don't see any ground zero anywhere around London.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm not trying to be confrontational, Phil.
Well, but when you say you don't see any ground zero around London, what do you mean?
I don't see any ground zero around London. I think the British people are far more prone to be involved and alert to problems of terrorism than Americans, but I do see one around here. That is a ground zero, and that tragic occurrence for a country that at one time looked like it was on its way to really getting it together is terrible. I think the American people right now are tired. I think they are frustrated. I think they're bored with politics. I think they're bored with their politicians. I think no matter how they say they love President Bush, I think they are bored with him. And I think that no time in the history of this country have a people been more ripe for a monarchy, monarchist form of government. I'm just saying, because of the Brits are led by the monarchy, they've been able to protect themselves from terrorists.
Well, the Brits are not led by a monarchy. They're led by a parliament.
But the monarchy is the head of state. and we don't have them flying airplanes into Big Ben. Thank you very much.
All right, Carl Misler is with us here. 1-800-449-8686, the number here. He's the author of a book called A Time and a Place, Monarchy in America. He is a journalist who has covered the ongoing colonial wars in Africa for the past 5 years. So the American people, you say, have never been riper to be led around by the nose, but in a good way. And according to you, what does it mean in a good way?
A monarchy, you got a non-fat. Non-fat. A monarchy...
You're doing your shopping, huh?
I'm trying to get the non-fat yogurt. Right. Is it non-fat? Right. A monarchy in America, it would encourage Americans to get back to the basics, which is hard work. Keep your mouth shut. Not focus on the ornamental things, but just work hard and talk less and work more. And that should be the new American way. You talk about the American way.
And what about free speech, free press?
Well, free speech and free press. One of the things about Americans, they're always going on about their free speech and the free press. And they're always going on about what they've got to say. I don't think Americans really have much to say these days. I think this is a great time for Americans to shut their mouths and just get into the hard work of protecting their country and to get into the hard work of supporting their country. And
what about the hard work of being involved democratically?
Well, that time is long past. The American people had an opportunity to be involved politically and gave that up. They've decided that they're going to lay back and let somebody else do the job. And that's why I say for the Americans, the best solution would be to have a monarchist form of government, which is a king and a queen who can make decisions for you so that you don't have to worry your little heads about it and you can go off and play video games or whatever it is you people do. But I'm telling you, if America would just crown a king or a queen at some point, this little terror problem of yours might go away and you wouldn't have these cowboys such as George Bush strapping on the plastic gun that his daddy got him for Christmas and putting on his cowboy hat and going on in front of the TV and saying he's going to do all these things in Iraq, which you know perfectly well he isn't capable of doing, and it would take decades for him to accomplish.
Well, I got to interrupt you there, Carl, because you have just said a mouthful. You said the President of the United States is playing cowboy. We don't have the wherewithal to defeat Iraq. The American people ought to keep their mouths shut and have a king.
Let me say this.
But that's a big mouthful.
Well, could I ask you a question? What business is it of yours to ask us about Princess Diana, Prince Charles, the Queen, or any gay rape that goes on, the homosexual rape that goes on in Buckingham Palace? What business is it of yours?
We're interested in it.
You may be interested in it because Americans are so bored with their own government that they are interested in ours, but what business is it of yours, really? Really?
I guess it's none of our business.
That is the point I think I'm trying to make. It's none of your business. And you can keep your nose out of our business. As Americans, I don't say you this, Phil, personally. I say the American people should keep their nose out of the business. And I'd like... Hold on. Could I, for a minute, Phil?
What?
Stolen. I want the tri-tip. The tri-tip. The American people should keep their nose out of our business, keep their mouth shut, and get to the grindstone. I think there'll be a lot more... You won't find a Brit saying, giddy up, let's go get Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think you would if you had a little of that ground zero going on around there in London, Carl. Carl Misner.
Well, I don't think so, because I think that we have had decades of pub bombings and we're not running around waving our flags, are we? I think we're reacting more like adults.
All right, so we are acting like children after 9/11.
That is correct.
And George Bush is a cowboy, and it's none of our business what Princess Diana, Prince Charles...
Although I don't mind you calling Charles Princess.
All right, Prince Charles or Princess of the Queen, it's none of our business. But it is your business to tell us how to run our government.
I'm not telling you how to run your government.
You're telling us that we don't need a democracy, that we need a monarchy.
I'm offering the opinion that the American temperament right now is much more suited to a monarchy, to have a king decide the affairs of government and state, because the American people have proven themselves incapable, uninterested, and are not quite up to the job, as it were. So I'm going to Did you want me to hold on?
Yeah, why don't you hold on here, Carl? 1-800-449-8686, the number here with international journalist Carl Misla, who's written a book on, it's called A Time and a Place, The Monarchy in America, The Need for Monarchists and the Need for a Monarchy Government in the United States, that Americans just, frankly, we've lost our energy to self-govern. And he also says that we ought to keep our mouths shut about the Queen if we expect the British to help us in Iraq. Good thing this guy's a friend of mine, because I'd pull, man. And good thing he ain't in a room with me. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The peaches in the can. If I get that.
Okay, we're back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show with Carl Misla, the author, and his book is called A Time and a Place. You there, Carl?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
All right, The Time and a Place, Time for Monarchy in America. Now, just a quick recap here. You believe that the time is right for America to have a monarchy because we are a people incapable of participating in our own government. And you also, but you agree with me when I say it'll never happen.
Well, I didn't say that. I said it.
Well, you agree with me when I say it's unlikely.
I said it's unlikely to happen. I didn't say it would not never happen. But look at the things that are preoccupying Americans today. I can't believe the stupidity of all these Americans making fun of someone's bum being violated in the Buckingham Palace. You jeopardize the support of Britain in this little war of yours when you're going to run off this warlord, this Saddam Hussein, who's about as dangerous as a boil on your thigh. And it's all about bum penetration with you people, and it's all about the violation of the bum. And for me, I'd like to see Americans grow up a little bit and become a responsible people and worthy of the democracy that they've got.
It's all about bum violation.
Well, there's this fascination in your country with rape and homosexuality and all of this. And it's really, really vile, and I think it does not serve you people very well.
Okay, Carl, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Pat. Hi, Pat. You're on The Phil Hendry Show with Carl Misla.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hello to Carl.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I have a beef with him about us acting like we solicit the help of the Brits. First off, I want to tell him I'm a very proud American, and I don't necessarily...
I would expect you to say that. I would expect you to say that, Pat.
Well, then if you would, then you'd know that our deep roots are situated where we've already broken away from you guys. We don't really feel like we need your help.
Well, it's one of the things Americans love to do is remind us of the fact that you're no longer part of the colonies. We understand that the Queen is no longer your Queen. But I'm trying to say here is that it's not in your best interest to continue to offend our monarchy while you're waiting for us to supply you with fighter jets and British pilots. And you see what I'm saying?
In the last big major world conflict, who solicited whose help?
Now, which one would that be?
Beg your pardon?
I don't know which one you're talking about. Is it Gulf War, or is it Vietnam, or was it Korea?
I believe I'm talking about World the War one II. in which London was bombed by the
you see, Patton, here's the interesting thing about that. We've more than paid you back for that, because while the Yanks were definitely on the continent fighting, London. the Yanks is a slang term for America.
Why don't you call us Americans, okay?
Yanks?
Right.
But the reason why we call you Yanks is because sometimes it's in our mind you're sitting around and you're pulling it. Right?
Because you guys are pompous.
Well,
you've always been a bunch of pompous asses.
Well, you can't deny that you're overly concerned with a violation of someone's bum. and anal penetration and this sort of thing in America that I can't understand.
I'm overly concerned if it's mine.
Well, you should be, but I'm saying it becomes a look at that. While you Americans were in the continent and you were fighting the Germans, you were also over in Britain, and you were violating the asses of our wives and our girlfriends. So that
wait a minute, that's a crude.
Well, we all know the Yanks were with all the British women. Were you, Pat? Were you there?
No, sir. I'm not old enough.
All right. Well, we had all these Yanks over there. They had their way with our women. They had their way with our daughters.
There was no American raping women over there.
Well, I beg to differ.
Let me ask you, and
I will tell you, anal sex was introduced to Britain by the Yanks.
Are we going to go back and talk about history?
Yeah, the Yanks love to defile the bum of either men or women.
Well, hold on. Pat, go ahead. Say what you wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Phil.
Good Lord.
How far back are you going when you're talking about this bum history?
I'm saying that the first time that
let me finish my question.
Well, go right ahead.
And then somebody violating someone else's, whether it be a bum or whatever, because let's all face it. The reason that
you are going to get to your point here, Pat, aren't you? You're going to
allow the man. He's not as conversant as you are. It's his first time on the radio. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm not as pompous as you, sir.
As it was,
who violated who first?
Americans.
If we're talking about violation, whether it be violating someone's bum and someone being overly concerned about someone's bum.
Well, no, I'm just
violated.
It was genuinely.
Who violated who first?
I would say that, and I said this before, that the Americans.
Have you guys rewritten?
Americans always put their nose in the dirty spot. So January 5th, 1943, when the first bum penetration happened in London, and it was performed by an American on a British woman. Now, the idea...
You don't know that for a fact. This is all slander. What a horrible thing to say about a country that did have a lot of troops stationed in your country.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Here we go again. We're going to hear about all you Yanks now. You're paying this out. We'd be speaking German. Isn't that right, Pat? Is that what you were going to say? That's right.
No.
You know, you are a pompous ass.
What we're afraid of is if we have a monarchy, if we want a monarchy, then us moral, decent, God-fearing people over here are all going to be bomb lovers.
Well, so you're saying then that the Brits are the ones that they're involved in this sort of thing. But I will tell you this. The monarchy would help America. First of all, it would get you away from the TV set for the first time, perhaps in several months, I would imagine. Secondly, it might get you re-involved in the democratic process, because once you get a taste of a king, you might not like it. And, Pat, you would be in London for an hour, and you'd be looking for a bum to penetrate, because you're an American.
Oh, and really?
This has turned into an insult, fest, hasn't it?
No, it's not an insult fest. It's the fact is, American servicemen came to Britain, looked up the first British woman that they could find, laid her over a coffee table.
Okay.
Well, y'all have the freedoms in Europe. Hello?
What is this? What is this?
Pat, I want you to listen to this, because this was truly the first anthem of a democratic nation. The parliamentary process was introduced into Great Britain in the 17th century, and it was introduced into America in the 18th century, so I think we've got about a 100-year head start on you, and I would appreciate it if the next time you set foot on this plot of green that we call jolly old England, you keep your hands and other body parts away from my wife's arse. Thank you.
What a crude bastard.
Well, he was... Bastard.
Wow. 1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
We're back with Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. So you are an entertainment but you, writer, Doug, but you're going to produce a reality show.
Well, the idea, Phil, is to evolve the Joe Millionaire idea. The one thing to be attracted, it's one thing to be attracted to a millionaire if he's good looking, 6 foot five. Another thing to be attracted to a multimillionaire who is physically challenged to the point of almost full incapacitation. Our show is going to reveal that side of humanity that we've never seen before.
All right, you're going to have a millionaire on who is physically challenged?
We are going to feature a gentleman, Phil, and I met this gentleman 2 months ago, and he's an amazing guy. His name is Gary Godwin. Gary won a judgment against one of the leading auto manufacturers in this country after his truck that he was driving in was pinned under a gasoline tanker. This happened on Interstate 80 out near Salt Lake City.
Good God.
He lost both of his legs. He's had some scarring around his forehead. He has restricted use of one arm. Severe internal injuries. He lost part of his intestinal tract. He has a colostomy bag. He's got a pump for other functions. He's on dialysis. This poor man is never obviously going to be the same from the injuries that he suffered. It was a horrible crash. There was a lawsuit, which he did win, and it was a very sizable nine-figure award. I'm not going to tell you how much, but nine figures.
Well, that's over $100 million.
That's over $100 million. Gary has a beautiful home in Park City. He's got a beach house in Atrancas Canyon, two homes in Manhattan. He's a great guy. He's a little temperamental, but I think anybody would be temperamental if someone came along and dragged you out of a flaming wreck when you just as soon die. So he's very, I guess you'd say he's very upset, thinks about that a lot.
I don't understand. He's upset about what? That somebody saved him?
Well, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be saved and not have any legs and be have a pump in your private area. One of the things I think is important, Phil, is to show America this guy, Gary, because he's a terrific guy. And we're going to do that with our new reality TV show. Now, what we'll do is introduce him
to some women?
To 30 beautiful, eligible bachelorettes. That's right. And we're not going to lie to these women. They will be assured beforehand that Gary has a lot of money. He really does have millions, and in this case, multi-millions. And the women will compete to be chosen, and they will stay for another week and eventually become his wife. Now, obviously, the difference is this is a man who's not 6 foot five and who is gorgeous. He's lost both his legs. He's on prosthetic limbs. He's on support systems. Now, keep in mind, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. I came out of the closet a whole month ago, Phil, so I know what is politically correct. And I'm going to tell you, this program is going to light a fire under people emotionally.
Now, I want to get this straight. You're going to have 30 bachelorettes competing to be the wife of a man who is in a wheelchair with no legs and physical scarring.
That is exactly right. Who's worth a lot of money.
He really is a millionaire.
He is a millionaire. Gary won an award from a civil court in Utah, nine figures. And
well, so what do the women do? I mean, so the women do what?
Well, here's what's interesting. They're not going to be horseback riding. They're not going to be skiing. They're going to have to change a colostomy bag. They're going to have to bathe him. They're going to have to feed him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, oh, boy, do you love him?
Well, you're going to have women. Is anybody in America going to believe that the woman who ultimately becomes his wife is there for any other reason than his money?
But look at what she's got to stomach. And I say that with a great deal of respect for Gary. I love Gary. I've known Gary for a long time. But this program...
I think that was a poor choice of words.
Well, listen, Phil, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I've been working in the field of reporting on special interests for a long time. So I know what's politically correct and I know what's incorrect. So please don't lecture me. What I'm saying is, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, this show's going to be about how much these women can, yes, I'll use the word, stomach. How long would you stick around bathing some guy with a colostomy bag and no legs?
If I was a woman?
If you were a woman.
If I loved the guy?
If you love the guy. With the fact that this guy's got a nine-figure millions of dollars influence your judgment?
I suppose it would. I mean, but I don't know how you fall in love with a guy in 2 or 3 weeks or however.
Well, it's a 6-week program.
Does he have it? So these women are going to have to change him and feed him and...
Oh, yeah. And because he has that internal injuries, there are times when they're going to have to clean up some things that are not very pleasant. So this is what we're talking about.
This is a show that's designed just to see how much these women can take, like you said.
Just like Joe Millionaire, Phil, but it's beyond. We really find out if they have love in their hearts. Now, the name of the program is one that a lot of people are going to be shocked at, but we needed a word, we needed a name that is going to hold people.
All right, hold the line here. I want to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A new reality TV show being proposed. A guy who is physically challenged, has lost his legs in an automobile accident, but who is worth millions, and the 30 women who will compete to become his wife. They'll have to bathe him, they'll have to change his plastic legs or whatever, but they inherit half his money.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
What is the name of the show?
All right, this is what I want to tell you. We need a name that is going to be sort of reminiscent of Joe Millionaire, but we want the name of this program to also be something that will get the youth to watch, get the kids to watch. The name of the show is Joe Retard. Now, here's the reason why we call it that.
Joe Retard.
I know you don't like it, Phil.
Well, that's what you want to call the ultimate insult.
No, wait. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Don't lecture me on what is politically. This is a perfectly fine name because, A, it relates to the youth.
Why? Because kids use that term a lot?
It relates to the youth. Please allow me to finish, Phil. It relates to the youth. I came on here to tell you about a program that I think everybody's going to find very endearing. And they're going to find it, I think, a great lesson in human nature.
I know that, but the name Joe Retard, the guy is physically challenged.
That is true. But we didn't want to call it Joe Cripple. We didn't want to call it Joe Physically Challenged. That sounds, to me, that sounds politically incorrect. But to say Joe Retard...
He's not even mentally retarded, though.
No, that is exactly right. But people will be drawn in believing there's obviously something wrong with him. And the word retard is what grabs them.
Joe Retard sounds to me like the most insulting name you could possibly call a TV show. Why would anybody want to put that on the air?
Phil, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. I have been out of the closet for a good 4 weeks. I have seen so much in my career. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I will tell you, trust me, please trust me, this is not offensive. This is a program that is going to carry with it. And Gary's the judge, too.
Gary Godwin is who we're talking about. He's a man who was in an automobile accident.
Yes, that's right.
He was in an automobile accident, pinned under a gasoline tanker, lost both of his legs. He had scarring. He's had internal injuries. So Gary's going to judge the women to see who's right for him.
That's right. Gary is the judge. If it doesn't feel right to him, they won't get chosen. This show can show the depth of human caring and be, in a week and week out, a highly successful program.
And you're calling it Joe Retard.
We're going to call it Joe Retard because we think that'll grab a lot of the youth vote.
All right, let me ask you a question here. Doug, you're a gay man, you're a gay journalist, as you have said.
That is correct.
Why don't I do a show that has guys meeting guys and call it Joe Fag?
Because that's homophobia.
Why do you get to make fun of a crippled guy?
Excuse me, having some guy in a wheelchair with a colostomy bag have his pick of 30 beautiful women, that's making fun of him? Well, I'm so sorry, Phil. I'm so deeply sorry that I brought 30 beautiful women into the life of a guy who's got two plastic legs.
Well, you're saying, can the women stomach it?
No, I mean, can they do the hard work it takes to take care of these people? But people are going to tune in every week to see, can these women take it, being around a guy with no legs and all of this, and having to change his anything he needs changed, you know? And, well, I think it'll be very challenging. Very challenging. And at the end, after the 6 weeks, he will select the woman that he wants to marry. And then we're going to find out if these women, what truly is in their heart, if they can take it or not, if they can stomach it or not.
You know, it'd be a better show if you didn't tell them that there was millions of dollars involved.
No, we're letting them know right up front, because then we can decide who the gold digger is. That's the fun about that. Phil, television needs to include our physically challenged.
Calling it Joe Retard is an insult.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you...
All right, maybe I'm not even ground with you on this.
As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I know what's insulting. That's not insulting.
All right, Doug Danger has joined us. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The show is called Joe Retard. A man, this is a real multimillionaire who won an award from an automobile manufacturer. His car was pinned under a gasoline tanker. As a result, he won a nine-figure award. He is crippled. He lost his legs in the accident. There's physical scarring. 30 women will compete to see if they can become this guy's wife. He's got well over $100 million. And when Doug says we're going to see week in and week out how much these women can take, I think that's insulting. It's like saying being around the guy is stomach-wrenching. And, you know, and I point that out to him. He says, well, he's gay, so he knows better what is, you know, what is politically incorrect. I admit I'm at a loss there. I'm not in any minority. I'm just Phil Hendry. But calling a show Joe Retard when the guy's not even mentally challenged, this is a man who's physically challenged because kids will relate to it, I don't get. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. He's also co-producing a new reality TV show called Joe Retard. And the program features a man who's physically challenged. He was in an automobile accident, a horrible, horrific accident, in fact. A guy by the name of Gary Godwin from Salt Lake City. And Gary has inherited over $100 million from an award. He didn't inherit it, right, Doug?
No, he got an award, Phil, from a auto manufacturer who was sued in excess of $100 million. I think the beauty of our program is we're going to have 30 bachelorettes, and these girls are beautiful, Phil. And let's see if beauty's only skin deep, all right? Can they stomach being around? And
I wish you wouldn't use the word stomach.
Well, can they be around him and stick it out and one of them be chosen to be the wife?
And the name Joe Retard, and you say that you...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I find nothing offensive about that. And I'm gay. I find nothing offensive about that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Madison, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I cannot believe that network is allowing this guy to do this.
Well, we've pitched the network, ma'am, and I think if you can get past, you probably don't like the title of the program.
So you would be okay with them calling
Joe Retard?
Fag, you'd be okay with that?
No, that's homophobia.
Joe Retard is not...
Why do you think that that's wrong when we are giving a guy in a wheelchair 30 beautiful women to pick
because
up?
Because that's something that...
This guy is crapping into a bag on his side, okay? This guy has no legs.
That doesn't give you the right to... Oh, so in other
That's
words...
That's right. That does not give you the right to call him names.
Man, let me pay you,
sir.
You
don't want people calling you Joe Fag. That is wrong.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can't... I that stuff just slides off my back.
This person has a disability. You're gay. Okay?
I don't want to call it Joe Fag. All right, you can call it Joe Gay. Just like if they had a program that featured only African Americans, you could call it Joe Color or something, or Joe Negro, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not trying to be insulting.
Joe Retard is the same as saying fag or anything like that.
No.
So you'd be okay with a show saying Joe Fag?
No, ma'am, I would not. That is homophobia. And
Joe Gay would be okay.
I'm surprised that an African American would go down that road, considering what you people have been through. Your people or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Madison, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. The you people thing, that don't make it.
Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know it's insensitive. I know it isn't insensitive.
1-800-449-8686. Melissa, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just curious, why do you have to preface everything with the statement that you're a gay man and you're a gay journalist? That does not give you the corner on the market to know what's insulting and what's not. Your sexual preference doesn't give... No, you let me finish this time.
Okay, but I'm gay.
You know, your sexual preference has nothing to do with if it's something is insulting or not.
Calling it Joe Retard
is absolutely insulting. If you were a mother with a mentally handicapped child, you would find this revolting.
No, ma'am, I would try to get the child on the show. Once he was old enough, I'd try to get him on the show, or you could do a lot of things.
Yeah, you could get him on the show so you could find a bunch of gold diggers. And these gold diggers, I hope that they have one iota of common sense, that they can find out that when your spouse receives a settlement, half the time the spouse is not legally entitled to any of that settlement.
Well, ma'am, we make sure legally that the women are going to stand in good stead for that money. So that's all taken care of.
They said the same thing on Joe Millionaire.
But why are you offended? Are you're not retarded?
Why am I offended?
Are you retarded? Or I don't understand why you're upset.
You know?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, are you a retard?
You wouldn't have asked me that if you didn't think that was offensive.
Ma'am, I'm a gay man.
So you know that is offensive.
I'm gay. And I've been a gay man and a gay journalist my entire life.
Again, you have to preface everything with, I'm a gay journalist and a gay man.
Because I know what I know.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Ma'am, I'll tell you what it has to do with. I know it's insensitive. And I know
you
have a tardation situation at your home.
I agree. You might know what's insensitive. I do agree with that. But that doesn't give you the corner of the market for that.
Ma'am.
There are plenty of other people who know what's insensitive. I work with special needs children. We don't call them retarded, and I'll be damned if I'd ever watch a show that is called Joe Retard.
Ma'am, I have been out of the closet for 4 weeks.
Yay for you.
I have trailblazed a lot of things in the gay community. And you said you have some kind of a...
You've trailblazed for 4 weeks. Hey, good for you.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know, you said that about three million times.
I know, but it doesn't bother me that you don't have any respect for me.
Respect for you, but I have respect for homosexuals. I have no respect for your opinion.
Yeah. Ma'am, if you're tardophobic or you're homophobic or you're...
What is tardophobic?
I know, I love that word. Tardophobic? Is that in your Funkin' Wagnall?
Ma'am, I'm trying to say...
What is tardophobic?
Not being afraid of a retard, but... What I'm saying
is,
what is it with the retard thing? Can't you say mentally challenged?
Oh, okay, Phil. Joe mentally challenged. That is not going to get the green light from one network executive. Now, I know some of the biggest names in television, and these people want a name that is concise, that is compact, that you can put into the TV guide. Joe mentally challenged isn't going to do it. Joe homophobic isn't going to do it. Joe retard says it.
But he's not retarded. The guy is physically challenged, as you said.
Right, but in most people's minds, they see a guy in a wheelchair, he's a retard.
But that's bull crap. Hey, Melissa.
Yeah.
When you see a guy in a wheelchair, you think he's mentally retarded?
That there's no connection.
What do you call a kid?
So why are you making that connection?
Well, you work with mental kids, right?
You would like to call them retarded.
No,
sure.
Do you work with mentally retarded kids?
Yes.
Okay, what do you call them?
Special needs children,
you
challenged,
you never,
mentally handicapped. I don't go to a three-year-old that can't function and call him retarded.
Well, you don't.
I do go to a gay journalist, though, however, and tell him he needs to change his opinion.
Ma'am, so you never slip up and say Mongo or anything like that?
She's a teacher.
Never.
Ma'am, saying
that
you work
so
with retards is like you try to establish yourself in the world. Oh, you're so good because you work with retards. Get
you
over
know
yourself,
what? I don't
okay?
have to establish
all right.
myself.
All right, thanks, Melissa. 1-800-449-8686. The show Joe Retard will feature a man who is physically challenged, and 30 beautiful bachelorettes will compete to be his wife because he's worth over $100 million. According to this man, how long will the women be able to stomach it? I think the name is insensitive. The show is idiotic. 1-800-449-8686.
And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Come on down, is right. Come down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. Enjoy a great steak as we celebrate the great victory of our troops in Baghdad at Ted's in Beverly Hills. Come on down after a Laker game.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's in Beverly Hills. Ted, I know you're at the restaurant right now, and you are getting involved in a couple of things. Have you been working with the, I know there's a businessman's consortium sending things to the troops in the Middle East?
Well, we're sending some supplies to the troops in the Middle East, Phil. The more important thing that we're concentrating on, and again, I want to say something that I haven't really heard any other business in this country say, and I think it's important, Phil, to say congratulations to our forces in Iraq fighting for the defense of this country. Congratulations to the great success. I am personally a little bit shocked that the business community in the United States of America has not responded more positively to this.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I think what I mean is that there hasn't been a showing of support by way of giving our guys some of the things they need. I saw some Marines on the side of the road in Baghdad the other day with big signs that said cigarettes, smokes. They wanted smokes. What we're doing, in conjunction with the USO and the United States Military Transport, we propose to feed every man and woman in the theater of operations a steak dinner courtesy of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, nothing like this has ever been tried, that a private American business with no desire other than to be patriotic would promote an enterprise this massive, and we'd like to think humbly that only Ted's of Beverly Hills could pull it off. It is painful to realize.
Now, hold on. You are proposing to send a steak dinner to 500,000 men and women.
We are absolutely, Bill, with the help of the USO and the theater of operations where they can prepare these steaks. And it is, in my opinion, very painful to realize that the business community, out of the entire business community in the United States, I'm the only one supporting our troops.
Well, I'll say this. It's a generous and it's a massive undertaking, isn't it?
You bet it is, Phil. But the way it would work, the cost of this would be very gladly shouldered by our corporation. A steak dinner for all the guys and gals. USO and the Army would fly the steaks to the theater of operations, prepare them there. Our only desire in any of this is that the troops have a good time, that the young men and women be allowed to enjoy a steak dinner while they defend our country and rid Iraq of a terrible dictator. And a personal wish of mine, which is to go to Baghdad and have my photograph taken with some of the troops. That's all we're asking for. And, Phil, I can tell you that I don't think it's much. And I think, there's not too many times when you want to say you're proud of your business, other than the fact we've done great serving our patrons, one of the greatest steak dinners in America. But we're very proud of Ted's of Beverly Hills that we, and we alone, among every single business in the United States, are actually stepping up to the plate, doing something for our troops, and not just sitting down in the vault counting money. Because these troops need to know that at least someone cares about them. And I'll tell you who that someone is. Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell, and I believe in supporting these guys.
All right, Ted. So Ted's of Beverly Hills, located in Beverly Hills. Now, you're sending steaks frozen to the Middle East, right?
These will be the preparation steak dinners, all the fixings, sent to the Middle East via our wholesalers in the United States, the USO, and United States Military Transport. And all I ask is that I get an opportunity to go to Baghdad and have my picture taken with our troops. And I think that in a lot of ways I would be deserving of something like that because we've stepped up to the plate.
All right. You sounds to me, as I listen to you, like you're throwing a challenge down to all the other businesses.
Well, it would be interesting to say that I was, Phil, but I'm really not, because I don't think there's any other business or really any other American group capable of doing something like this, because I don't think the American people at this particular point are interested in anything other than themselves and their own, and it's tough for me to say.
You don't really believe that, do you?
It's very tough for me to say, but the narcissism out there and the me, I, where, how will I survive is pathetic. But I can tell you right now that I've been through a lot of wars personally and professionally, and I know which side of the bread the butter's on.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills proposing that, not only proposing, but planning on sending 500,000 steak dinners to the men and women in uniform in the theater of operations, and for no gain of your own other than you want a picture taken with the troops.
I would love to be in Baghdad with some of the 1st Marines or our 101st and get a picture with me and the guys. Maybe being hoisted up on their shoulders and just an inscription on the photograph. The coalition forces support Ted's.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Question is, why should the American people care about this?
Well, I don't know why they would care, Phil, other than the fact that I think shame. Shame that they haven't done more. Shame that the businesses haven't done more. Shame that most Americans, I think, just get out of bed in the morning, flip on the TV news to wait and see if America's still here.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't care. I guess, would you care if there was one guy in your block putting out the fire at a neighbor's house and everybody else was just sitting out on a lawn chair? Would you care about that? I would think...
Well, I'd try to help.
Well, I would think you'd want to join in. Otherwise, it's you feel ashamed. That's number one. Number two, because this is out of pocket, I would hope that the United States government could give me some kind of tax-exempt status over the next several years. And I would...
Well, then, but if you're asking for a tax-exempt break because you're giving steak dinners to our troops, then you're not going to be paying for this. You're asking the taxpayers to.
Well, Phil, here's how I feel about it. I got to encourage them to do something. They're not doing a thing. And I think that if shame alone doesn't get the American people up off their rear ends to help out and do something for our troops, maybe the threat that they will be penalized financially. Because after all, nothing motivates American like the idea that someone is going to tax them for something. For instance, if they have a well-made freeway and they're going to be taxed for that, that makes them upset. If they have a good school, they're going to be taxed for that. The American people are not supporting our troops. And I am, and this is the this is something that I would just simply say, if you look around, take a look in the mirror, a lot of people would be ashamed about that.
Well, okay, if you're doing it, then you're doing it, and why should you care whether anybody else is supporting the troops?
Nothing, absolutely nothing, Phil. But it's, again, an example of how Ted's of Beverly Hills is up front. And,
now, I want to ask you about the photograph. You say you want a personal photograph?
No, I would like to be able to go to Baghdad at some point and have my picture taken with the troops, with me lifting them up on their shoulders, you know, in front of the restaurant that was bombed out, with it saying, Coalition Forces Appreciate Ted Bell.
All right. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is Phil Henry. I'm on with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Here's a question that I have for you. You are proposing sending a steak dinner to the men and women in the theater in exchange for a picture of yourself being hoisted up on the shoulders of our troops, and a big thanks from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Did you ever, our coalition forces, did you ever have a desire to be in the military?
You know, Phil, I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up, a lot of the guys that I went to school with went into a career in the military, the Army, they went to the Navy, and so on. And they went in, I went into business with my father after high school because I was, you know, maybe I was a little bit nervous about going into the military. Why should I get shot for somebody else's war? That was my feeling. And every opportunity my friends had, they stuck it to me, calling me a fairy, this and that. Right now, I'm doing something better than anything they ever did, and that's what makes me proud. Better than any combat veteran. I'm donating steaks to the troops, and when I get that picture of them hoisting me on their shoulders, I'm going to send a copy of it to every one of my veteran friends with an inscription that says, I did better than you.
Well, is this a personal thing?
No, it's just simply to prove that a man can do great things in the military and never having been in the theater of operations. I get that picture of me with the troops. I'm going to send it off to those people with an inscription that says, now I got you. Now I got you one out.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You know, that last little story he told, it's almost as if he's got a personal problem. Ted Bell, he is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, proposing to send 500,000 steak dinners to the men and women in the Middle East, and he says because no other business has stepped up to the plate to help our troops. However, I got to tell you this, he wants tax-exempt status, and he wants a photograph of himself being hoisted on the shoulders of the troops with the inscription, the Coalition Thanks Ted's. And I'm sorry, Ted, what was that? Is he back on? Ted, what?
Well, no. The inscription, Phil, is supposed to read, Veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, Ted Bell.
And so you want to be seen as a combat veteran?
I want to be an honorary combat veteran. And the reason I think, Phil, will be difficult for a lot of people to understand, but when you're called a fairy and a queen by your friends because you didn't enlist in the military, and I've got a picture of me on the shoulders of the 101st Airborne in downtown Baghdad that says, Ted Bell, Veteran of Iraqi Freedom... I'll tell you, that's going to tighten up some people's sphincter.
Okay, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And today on the Phil Henry Show, we'll also be doing extensive war commentary as we continue with our coverage of the war in Iraq. This is the Phil Henry Show. Back in a minute.
The Phil Henry Show. Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Good people over there, too.
All right, hold on, Ted, because I got some phone callers on the line, and we want to do your commercial, too.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, if you come down to Ted's of Beverly all day long with some of that delicious horseradish, cut up meat at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down, everybody, and bring the family.
Ted to Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills. Ted, we have some phone calls. Ted Bell is with us, a businessman. He owns Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse, who proposes to send a 500,000 steak dinners to Iraq. And you say it's out of patriotism.
What? Absolutely.
Well, here's why I'm having the problem, because you would like to, in exchange, have some tax-exempt status and get your picture taken with the troops.
The only reason, let me explain something to you, because... and to other listeners, I'm putting myself on the line for my country because I'm so disgusted with the lack of support for our troops with what I call the silent yellow American majority. A little bit different with the silent majority of years gone by. This is the silent yellow American majority. Years ago...
That's pretty strong calling somebody yellow.
Well, I'll tell you something. I would have been in the military had I not been pressed into service. Let me explain something to you. I've got a 9mm Beretta, and I'm going to go out the back door here. Now, we have a pretty good piece of property out behind the restaurant here, Phil. Now, this is a 9mm Beretta. This is a semi-automatic handgun. It's an 11-shot clip. We've got a target on the trailer. Listen to this. John, take that. See that? No, and I was called a fairy and a queen.
And are you shooting a gun?
Just behind the restaurant here. Play the game.
Now, Ted, I would rather you not discharge a firearm, man.
Do you hear that? What fairy can do that?
This isn't about you proving your manhood, though.
No, I understand that.
No, it's not about you proving your manhood. It's about you doing something for the troops.
And that's what I want to do. I want to do something for the troops. No other business. And just because some of these guys have military, now what's this?
I don't think, Ted, I don't think discharging a weapon, okay?
Goddamn. I got that. That was great. Another one.
All right, sir, I have to conclude the conversation if you're going to keep doing this.
Huh?
I have to conclude the conversation.
No, I just to exhibit that I'm every bit the man that my friends were, or think they are, just because they went off and fought, in Grenada or wherever they went.
All right, let me take some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. I got Janice here. Hello, Janice. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Janice Hayes, the mother of Henry Stone Jr., and he is being ready to be deployed this coming Thursday or Friday.
Where?
And, sir, I am going to suggest to him that he does not eat one of your steaks. I have uncles... I have grandfathers, I have brothers that went overseas, and they've served this country to keep it free. And what you're doing is bigoted. God said to give and not to brag, and exactly that's what you're doing.
I'm giving to the men. I'm giving them a
You should give out of your heart and not out of your pocket.
Janice, can I just say this? Listen to this. I'm every bit a man.
You might be ever been a man, but how is God going to look at you? You want to get hoisted on those men's shoulders who might die tomorrow for your stupid stakes. I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell my son. He's leaving Thursday or Friday out of Fort Drum, New York, and I'm going to tell him about what you said, and I'm going to make sure that it is spread all over the Iraqi desert.
Wait a minute, ma'am.
They're going to hear about it, and believe me, your stakes are going to rot because those boys are rotting over there.
Ma'am,
and they are worth more than your stakes ever will be.
I have a great appreciation for those young men and women.
No, you don't.
You don't have
appreciation. You want to say, I'm going to send you a steak dinner? Good job, guys. I'm proud of you. But no, you want a tax exempt. You want to get hoisted up on soldiers' backs who's been fighting for your freedom to run a restaurant.
Janice, that's a good point, too. Those young men may be dead tomorrow while you're sitting on their shoulders.
That's right. And he wants them to lift them up so he can show his buddies that he's not a queer. Excuse me, I don't mind people who have that kind of life. That's up to them. But don't be flaunting it on the television,
ma'am,
on the radio.
Can I say one thing?
Don't you do that.
Can I say one thing, ma'am?
What?
If those young men, God forbid, but if those young men are to die tomorrow, I hope they die with a Ted's of Beverly Hills steak in their belly.
My God.
My son, I guarantee you will not.
That's about
it. He is 42 years old with a family here, leaving his wife, who he doesn't want to leave, so he can go and protect your butt.
Can I ask you a question, dear?
Don't call me dear.
Your son's 42 and he's still a buck private?
Don't call me a dear, okay? Because I'm not your dear.
I'm not calling you dear. I simply am asking a dear. I called you dear, not a dear.
We know what you mean.
Don't get smart with me, mister. It's my son's life on your line, not your stupid steaks. Not your stupid restaurant, and not your stupid taxes you don't want to pay.
Ma'am, I'm just curious. At 42, why is he still a buck private?
Mister, he was out of the service, and he went back in of his own accord 7 years ago just to defend his country because he knew it was the thing to do. He went back into the Guards. Then he went into the reserve, and now he's over there. He's going over there, and he's doing it proudly.
I can tell you,
it doesn't make any difference if he's a buck private or if he's a general. He is a man in the service out of America. And you don't like that, that's your tough. What did you didn't even make private, mister?
Wait, listen to this. See, I'm shooting a gun good.
Oh, will you stop?
Yeah, shoot that gun some more. You want to do something? Go. How old are you, sir?
I'm 38.
Well, why don't you go enlist, all right? Do the right thing. Volunteer.
I would, but I've got a multi-million-dollar steakhouse.
You got excuses, right?
Let me tell you, when your son wraps his lips around my filet mignon...
He isn't going to. Believe me, he will throw it away. He will not eat your steak. And the boys will not hold you on their shoulders.
What? Well...
Your steaks are going to rot, so you might as well just...
So what about that,
Ted? Hang it up, and you know what God says? And you might just rot there, right?
Ted.
You know what I'm saying.
You're talking about me rotting in hell, aren't you?
Hold on.
I didn't say it, honey. You put the words in your own mouth.
I want to say something, Ted. If those steaks, okay, I mean, those guys aren't going to want to eat your steaks.
Well, and if they don't want to, then I'm not going to give them to them. And guess what? They don't get to have it.
And sell them, honey. Sell them.
Well, there's no way that...
It'll coat your pocket.
There's no way that they're going to give you tax-exempt status.
Then the young men and women of our country do not get a steak dinner, and I think that's a crime.
All right, no, crime is you wanting everything out of them.
Well, how about if you get a 5% discount at my restaurant, Janice? You bring my steak.
I wouldn't bother going to your restaurant. I would go to McDonald's first.
Excuse me, ma'am, it's not a restroom.
About what I'm eating.
It's not a restroom, it's a restaurant.
I said restaurant. Excuse me.
All right, hold on. 1-800-4... Thank you very much, Janice. Good call. 1-800-4...
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Slow-baked, slow-cooked, very slowly cooked prime rib. Delicious.
We want to put on the in your mouth.
All right, Ted's of Beverly Hills sponsoring. Ted is with us right now, and I know you're preparing to send 500,000 steak dinners to the Middle East, to the theater of operations, to give to our young men and women. You've heard the criticisms of some of the listeners that you're doing this as a self-serving promotional thing.
I think it's a cynical American public these days that looks skeptically upon a man who's trying to do something decent for the American troops, and I don't see any other business out there. And I include in that steakhouses, restaurants, doing anything for our boys.
Well, you heard the one lady who's a mother of a trooper who she said she would encourage him not to eat the steaks. Because you, how do you answer the charge that you are going to send these steaks to the Middle East in exchange for a picture of yourself being hoisted on the soldier's shoulders and tax-exempt status for your corporation?
I don't understand your question.
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, you'll send a half a million steaks over there if you get to go to Baghdad, have the troops hoist you on their shoulders in front of that bombed-out restaurant that Hussein was in with an inscription, thanks to the coalition. You heard what the lady said. Those guys that have got you on their shoulders may be dead tomorrow. And you came back with the comment, well, I hope they've got a belly full of Ted steaks.
Phil, if you think that is cynical...
I think it's very cynical to say, well, if he dies, I hope he had one of my steaks. That's a mother who's afraid for the life of her son.
I'm simply saying, Phil, the fortunes of war change. Yes, I get it, I understand. Battles won, battles lost. Yes, I get it, I understand. But all of the young men and young women of the Middle East, whether they live or whether they die, I hope they've had a chance to stick a Ted steak in their mouth. Because I'm going to tell you something. You have one of our pork loin, have our prime rib, or have your choice, the sirloin or New York strip, you'll have lived. Even if you're going to die, even if you're going to die tomorrow, you can say you've lived a full life if you have the Ted's strip steak, baked potato, steamed broccoli, and the Ted. And all for a great price of only $10.95. And on Sunday, of course, we have our special family night. And I don't understand the cynicism of people who say that I'm doing something wrong. I don't see anybody doing anything else. And I'm Ted. See, here's the thing. I'm Ted Bell. No one tells me. I tell people how things are promoted, how we create things, and how we create an identity.
So your big gripe is that business isn't doing anything.
I don't see business doing a thing for our guys. Not a thing. I saw the guys over there with the big signs that said, smokes, we need cigarettes. You think Marlboro is sending over some free cigarettes for our guys? No. Do you think any company over in the United States? No. They're afraid of being seen as pro-war. Let me tell you something. The Ted Bell Steakhouse, Ted's of Beverly Hills, is very, very, very pro-war.
As I am, Ted. As I.
Well, then I don't understand why you'd give me an argument.
Well, I don't hear an altruism in your promotional announcement of giving away steaks. I hear something a little bit self-serving. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell here proposing a half a million steak dinners in exchange for a photograph, which you say is a simple photograph, but it's being hoisted on the soldier's shoulders and the engravement that says, thanks from the coalition. Here is Bob on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, I want to know why you think you're the only one doing anything when you got people, Americans, going across all across the country having rallies and everything else. They're donating things, personal things they need.
I'm not talking about tying yellow ribbons.
Cigarettes, chapstick. I don't see anybody else trying to get any kind of retribution out of it. They're doing it because they're supporting the troops. They don't care about being hoisted on anybody's shoulder or anything else. Not only that, when you do that, you're putting yourself and them soldiers in harm by some sniper going to take a shot at you. Nobody else is asking for any kind of retribution, and they're doing what they're doing.
First of all, I'm not afraid of any sniper. Second of all, I'm not giving chapstick away. I'm giving away steak dinners.
So what?
That's quite a bit more.
Nobody else is helping but you. But excuse me, everybody that is supporting the troops are supporting them one way or another. They're not sitting on their ass. They're not having to sit in the back of their restaurant and shoot a gun to find some kind of retribution.
Wait a minute, listen to this.
They're doing it because they're supporting the troops. They're happy for what they're doing.
I can tell you this
they're
right now, sir.
Free.
Bob, I can tell you this. This is a Colt 1911. You ever heard anything like this? Look at that.
Yes, I was in the military.
Okay, see?
But you know what? I ain't out shooting my guns either because it don't make sense.
Well, all right.
I don't need the self-retribution. I want to shoot it. I'll go out to a shooting range. I'll go up in the mountains up here where I live.
But doesn't that sound
good? I don't need to shoot a gun over a radio station to make my point. What you're saying is you are a coward. You're trying to fight what you never did. You're trying to make some kind of self-guilt, and it just ain't going to work.
What do you mean I'm a coward? I can shoot this gun?
You can shoot a gun with me. But you know how many people shoot a gun? How many people end up in prison because of what they're doing?
I can get...
You could end up in jail for what you're doing. This tells you the arms in the city to...
Look, I'm giving away steak dinners. I'm not giving away no chapstick.
Giving away.
And I ain't tying no yellow ribbon.
They're just not giving steak dinners. And who wants a steak dinner that's been probably going to have to be, freeze dried or something just so they can get it over there? Because it's not going to be hot.
It's going to be, we're going to have it, it'll be fine. It'll only be a couple of days in an airplane, then we throw it on the grill. And it,
well, is it refrigerated?
I'm sorry?
You think they're going to have time in the middle of the war to sit down and enjoy a steak dinner? I don't think so.
Let me tell you something. They would have stopped the Battle of Waterloo for one of my steaks.
No, we wouldn't.
They would have walked away, both sides would have declared peace just to go to a picnic table and have one of my steaks.
Excuse me, what do you charge for them steaks? $20?
What's that?
What do you charge for them steaks? $20?
For the New York Strip? For the New York Strip top sirloin, that's $50.
Well, you know, even $50 ain't worth getting shot at or anything else.
Well, they're not paying the $50. All I'm asking for
You're basically asking the American people to pay for it. Why should we pay for it when we're donating our time, our efforts, we're going to rallies, we're donating stuff that they need, personal stuff.
Because, Ted, if you ask...
They don't care about no steak dinner, trust me.
Ted, if you're asking for tax-exempt status, Ted, you are asking the American people to pay for it.
Well, what else are they doing? They're doing nothing.
Excuse me?
At least I'm encouraging people to do something.
Personal hygiene stuff. Stuff they need. They don't need that steak dinner.
Wait a minute. Are you honestly trying to...
When they come home, fine.
Are you... You're trying to tell me they need underarm deodorant in the middle of a war? Holy Jesus. The only thing those...
Sunblock. It's 100 degrees over there.
Sunblock? Oh, yeah. Sunblock. Look, the only thing those guys want is a good steak dinner, and Ted Bell's going to do that. I'm Ted Bell. I'm going to do it.
I don't care who you are. I've never even heard of you before today.
You ever heard of Ted Bell's Steakhouse?
No, and I don't care if I ever hear of it again.
Boy, do I feel sorry for you.
No, I don't.
I'm going to tell you, you've never had a...
Will you stop it with the gun?
That's what I mean. You're foolish. You know what? Somebody should call the cops out there and have you arrested for discharging a firearm in city limits.
Watch this. Put that bottle up over there, Eddie.
Who cares about your bottles?
Watch this.
Oh, you're
direct
man, huh? You couldn't serve in the you couldn't go into service because of your poor old ass excuses. But you want to sit in the back of a restaurant and shoot a gun?
Hey, Bob, Bob, wait a minute. Hold on. Pretend this bottle's in Iraqi. Watch.
Who cares?
Direct hit.
If it's in Iraqi, why don't you go over there and try it?
Exactly. Why don't you join the army and go over there and try it instead of shooting a gun off?
I already did my time. I did 8 years in the Navy.
Well, not you, sir.
I went over there in the Mediterranean them hostages in the early 80s.
Put that Clorox bottle up there.
What else you want to do?
Watch this. Put the Clorox bottle up there.
Oh, you're the big man. You know what? You need to quit shooting that gun.
Bob, look.
Because you know what?
This
everybody
is
that's
Hussein.
Listening right now, you're all thinking the same thing I am. You're an idiot.
Hold on. That bottle of Clorox is Saddam Hussein. Watch.
Oh, boy.
Direct hit. I just killed Saddam
Hussein. You know what? You didn't do no harm because that ain't Saddam. That's a figment of your imagination. You need to wake up to the real world.
Look, Bob,
All
I'm saying is get out of Sizzler and come on over to my restaurant and taste the real
thing. I don't go to Sizzler. I go to Stuart Anderson.
Oh, well. Stuart Anderson? You know where that guy gets his meat? Yeah. Off the side of a highway.
Yeah.
Look at that. I just killed Saddam Hussein. And what are you doing? Going to the salad bar again?
Nope.
Stuart Anderson, you know the steaks he uses? They're out of the ass end of the cow.
Try again.
Wait, well, how do you know where they come from?
My father supplied their steaks for almost 20 years.
Your father supplies steak?
Yeah, he raises Black Angus.
Tube steak?
All right, listen, you punk.
Let's not get into the insults.
No kidding.
You don't know what you're talking about. All you're looking for is some kind of self-retribution, and it ain't going to happen.
I've killed Uday Hussein about five times.
You can take your steaks and keep them because, you know what, the people don't want them.
Hey, Bob, I'm gonna say one better.
Is personal thing. They need hygiene stuff.
Yes,
they need cigarettes. They need sunblock.
Cigarettes.
Believe it or not.
Send them some Marlboros or something.
Send your money elsewhere. Give them something they need.
Look at that. I just killed Uday Hussein, and you're babbling on about cigarettes.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, man.
Why don't you go put on a vest and go out there in 100-degree heat with a gas mask and everything else and try...
What?
I guess you couldn't do it.
I think it's time to put you out of your misery, Bob.
Look, you shoot your gun off, I'm calling the police because you're discharging a firearm within city limits. That's against the law. Absolutely. And, Bob, thank you. You've made some very good points. And
look at that. I just killed that information minister.
I think that guy's your brother because you're both kind of losing it.
There goes another Republican guard.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah, have a good day.
You made some very good points. The man's trying to make some sense, and you're out firing off a gun. What do you mean that bottle of Clorox is Saddam Hussein?
I'm fantasizing because I want to go over to Iraq and I want to be a soldier. Look at that.
Who was that?
Osama bin Laden.
1-800-449-8686.
Ow. Shot myself in the foot.
Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We get a flashback now. Bobby Dooley was on to represent the silent heroes. Who are they? Well, they're the housewives who do things much braver than Jessica Lynch. Why, Jessica Lynch was just sticking it to the housewives across America with her heroics, because the housewives are the ones that are the silent heroes.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Harold, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what's wrong with this lady. I think she's sick. She needs help. This is America. A miracle.
Well, Your
radio's turned up, dear. Turn it down, okay?
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, you have to turn it all the way down.
This is you talking.
Carol, can I say something? I'm a mother, and I was listening to my sons talking to their girlfriends, and they were having lunch at our house the other day. I made the kids some sandwiches. Okay? Are you with me, Carol?
Yes.
All right. And I heard the two girls talking about Jessica Lynch this and Jessica Lynch that. And there are times when a parent has to act. And I walked in there and I slapped the sandwiches right out of their hands and I told them to get out.
I think you're sick.
I'm sick. I'm being a mother to my two boys.
Listen, hey, you're not the only mother in the world. Listen, I got six kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't begrudge this girl one bit what she got.
Well, maybe,
you know, she went through a lot.
Have you
ever
seen?
And she's over there fighting for your freedom, lady. Your freedom.
I have no doubt about
freedom.
That. But I saved a young boy's life the other day.
You didn't save nobody's life. You was wanting to take somebody's life and decided not to.
No, that's not true.
That's what you said.
You just said on radio that you could have speeded up and took that child's life. That's a sick comment, lady.
I said that I had the instinct to run the boy down, decided not to. Let's talk about you, though. Six children. When have you ever put your legs down? Because
all right, this is the kind of thing that's unnecessary. Unnecessary.
She is sick. She needs help.
Are you a silent hero or are you not? Because I'm a silent hero.
I'm no hero, honey. I haven't done anything to save anyone's life.
Well, then you should.
But just everyday living. That's what you're doing, an everyday living.
That's what I do.
That girl went overseas to fight for our freedom so we could be free here in the United States. I can't imagine what about you. You're not willing to go over there and fight.
Carol, I have a 6,500 square foot home.
Hey, I don't care what you have, lady. You ain't got no more than anybody else has got.
I have a 6,500. I drive
people,
an Escalade.
People like you are greedy and selfish, and you want everything you can get. And people like you are going to hell.
You know, if you and I were friends, the first place I would take you would be for a latte. And we'd sit down and talk.
Me and you could not be friends. Because you don't have no respect for women. You want to take that lady's glory.
Oh,
and she don't
God.
Even know she's getting all this glory. Oh, she's in a hospital, probably in a coma.
There you go again with it. Can I please get away from it for 3 seconds?
What?
Well, you shouldn't have brought it all up.
Oh, my
you
God.
You got on national radio.
Listen to you with the Jessica Lynch. Can you get off of it? Let's talk about you. Where do you like to vacation? Because I
listen, I'm not the one to be talking about.
Right. What are you talking about, all right? We're talking about Jessica Lynch.
That's right. Amen.
There you go again. There you go again. Just, so why don't you put it on tape? Jessica Lynch, Jessica Lynch, Jessica Lynch, Jessica Lynch.
She's jealous. That's all there is to it. She's jealous. She's not getting the glory. If she'd go over there and fight, maybe she'd get a little bit of glory.
Let me tell you something, Carol. In life, acts of kindness come in all sizes. The other day, I had
doing right now is not the act of kindness.
No, I am trying to, but nobody talks about us, Carol, you and me. Listen.
Hey, we don't need to be talked about.
The other day,
I
had
freedom here.
Can I ask you something? Do you do anything? Do you do anything as simple as lighting a match in the bathroom? Do you do that?
No, I don't like matches.
No, see?
I don't
smoke. That's no.
I don't smoke. So
no,
I don't
darling, I'm talking
matches.
About after a bowel movement. Do you light a match?
Oh, do we? Oh, man.
This lady needs help. You need to get her some help. She needs help, mental help.
Why do I need mental help?
Wait.
Because you are nuts.
I got to ask this question. You think lighting a match after going to the bathroom is the same as saving someone's life?
No, I did not say that. I said it's a small kindness.
My radio's, my telephone's
going dead. I'm a hero because
dead.
I bought some Girl Scout cookies. Your telephone's dead?
Yes, my telephone's going dead. So, but you need some help, lady.
Carol.
You do need some help.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
How the hell did Ted Bell's commercial come on? Get out of here, Ted. Get out of here, Ted. You're already done, man.
Hey, Bill, I just want to come out with a great five minutes.
Get out of here. All right, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Ted Bell. 1-800-449-8686 is our phone number, but our website is www.philhendryshow.com. Go to the souvenir shop. We got some great new stuff, including the Citizens Auxiliary Police Travel Mug, and get my mug on your mug, the Phil Hendry Show Latte Mug, as well, of course, as our Best of CD. This year, the Best of CD 2002, world famous. All the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Phil Hendry.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
This story has come to our attention. The government is, as you know, compensates the families of our military, our men and women in action in the Middle East, get hazardous duty pay, combat pay. There are other groups of civilians who feel they're also allowed compensation for certain losses during this conflict. They are complaining that the government is not responding as quickly to them as, let's say, the Jessica Lynch family. One of them is Jeffrey Dowder. He's with us. He's 29 years of age and works at, Mr. Dowder, is that Delcott Marina Sales?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's in Marina Del Rey, California. You were on at least two TV shows yesterday, and you've been doing some radio. Tell us your basic position.
Phil, we just feel, Mr. Hendry, that there are that we are the forgotten Americans in this conflict. There are other Americans who have lost personally in this conflict as other than the soldiers. And I think that, we have to remember that. There are some of us who've lost financially and emotionally, and we think they're only people the government's paying attention to are those who actually are physically in the combat theater.
Well, tell me how you got involved in this campaign.
Yes, sir. We had an office pool. I'm not sure how many of those have been going on in the country, but we had an office pool that we contributed money to, in my case, $200, and it was for people to guess the day that Baghdad would fall. And within 5 days of that, you'd win the money, and the day it would fall, we had two mechanics who do most of our refits and boat repairs, and one of them won the pool. His guess was April the 12th, which is about within 5 days of today. Now, I recognize that this seems to some people not as important as the military families, but it was $200 that came out of my pocket that I wanted to use to go toward buying books, because I'm going to be going to junior college this summer and take some classes. And I feel that we're getting duped by our government into making these expenditures. And if the government's going to help out military families, what about those of us who've lost as well?
You realize the trivia, but you say this is an office pool.
I understand, Mr. Henry, it's not the same thing as hazardous duty pay, but there are a lot of Americans who have been duped, and that's why I think the government needs to compensate us to some degree. Because,
well, why do you say you were duped?
Well, because Donald Rumsfeld said this war was going to take a lot longer. Tommy Franks, who's the general of the Army, said it's going to take a lot longer. And also General George Bush said that it would take longer.
And you mean President Bush?
That's what, yeah, President Bush said it's going to take longer. And so it didn't. And so I lost that money. And
you're fully admitting that this is kind of trivial, though, aren't you?
It is and it isn't. It is because compared to the soldiers and what they're doing, it's not as tough. But it isn't because this is what happens when you believe your government. And because I believe the American government, when they said that this war was going to last longer, I dropped $200 in the office pool, and Kip Kiplinger, who's one of the marina refit mechanics, won the office pool.
All right, well, there's also that at least somebody did guess right. You see what I'm saying?
Right, but I think we were all duped into going into the pool because of these claims by Donald Rumsfeld and by Tommy Franks.
All right, we're talking here with Jeff Dowder, who is with a group of people, actually. You call yourselves the those who suffer in silence, right?
Yes, sir.
Don't you think that's a bit insulting to people who've actually had war wounds and injuries in the war?
Well, no, we're not trying, Mr. Renner, we're not, this is not a group of people who are not patriotic. We're very patriotic. I'm just saying that while the soldiers get all the glory, we suffer in silence because no one knows about this pool. I lost $200.
Because I had a lady on last week who said that housewives do more than Jessica Lynch did. So there's a lot of people, I guess, that are getting their feelings hurt, not being recognized.
No, well, I don't need any recognition. What we'd want is compensation from the government of money we lost in office pools as the result of them saying the war would take longer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number, 1-800-449-8686. This is money that could otherwise be given to the combat families, though. You realize that?
I realize that, but they're already... See, they already get paid. We don't. I don't get paid by the government. I was lied to by the government. And I think compensation is due me. The military works for the government, so they get paid. But I got lied to.
So you see this more as reparations?
I believe it is reparations for the lies, yes, sir. Yes, I do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We got a hold of Jeff Dowder's number. He has been on a couple of television shows today talking about how he lost $200 in an office pool predicting the day that the city of Baghdad would fall. He lost the pool. He lost $200. And he feels he lost the pool because the government lied and said the war would take longer. I realize you're not claiming that you need the money more than the military families do. You're simply saying you need the money.
No, I recognize this, that our troops and the hazardous duty pay they get. I'm just saying that somebody needs to recognize what we lost. Colin Powell should come out right out of the chute and say this war is not going to take long, folks, if that's what he means to say, but he didn't say it. Right out of the chute, he should have said something like, yeah, listen, this is going to be, you know, a couple weeks tops. But he didn't do that.
Well, I don't know that anybody can predict that. You know? Excuse me, I have to take a drink of water.
Yeah, I could hear you coughing.
Okay, well, just hold on for a minute. Oh, man.
You want me to call back or something?
No, I'm fine. I just we're talking with Jeff Dowder here about so the United States government lied to you. And you drop $200 in an office pool, and the troops who are getting paid by the government, these troops should share some of the government money, I guess. Is that it?
Yes, sir. I think right now they're getting hazardous duty pay, and I appreciate what the troops do, but I also have been lied to by the American government, and we feel we do need compensation. And by the way, Mr. Hendry, there is precedent for this. The Small Business Administration gives out business loans, the victims' rights organizations, and we're not the only people. There's people who've canceled trips out of town. Matchbox 20 is not going to be doing their tour of Europe. Excuse me. And just all kinds of stuff. So I think a lot of people are struggling in business and everything. So that's what I'm saying.
All right, 1-800-449. I don't know how Matchbox 20 canceling their tour has to do with this.
Well, they're going to be losing money is what I'm saying.
Do you think they need to be compensated?
I think it would be good, but they're rich already. You know what I'm saying? They're already rich.
All right, here is, let me go over to Becky. Becky, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeffrey Doubter of Those Who Suffer in Silence.
Hi.
Hi, Becky, go ahead.
Okay, well, I would just like to tell this guy that I think he is one pathetic loser, that he is mad that our guys are going to come back early. He is mad that we haven't suffered more.
No, ma'am. No, I'm not mad. I'm glad that... Well, but what about what I lost?
You haven't lost anything. You have gained an entire country here. You have the honor of living in America. Well, what have you lost? 2 cents?
No,
you haven't lost anything.
No, ma'am. It was $200 in the office pool.
We got our guys back.
Yes, that
you
is
lost
good.
Fewer men. Well, you need to buck up. I think you're a coward. You need to buck up and be happy these men came back.
I'm happy, but it's not all about them. That's what I'm trying to say. See how you all you want to do is make it about them?
Yeah,
of
that's
course.
What I want to do right now, because that's the most important thing in our country right now, are our men and women safe and going to come home to all these families, not somebody like you who lost $200 because he made a bet.
Well,
you know, you chose your bet. You knew what the score was, and you chose to go ahead
exactly.
And place your bet, and you lost, and now you're whining about
it. No, but what I am saying is that Colin Powell should in the future say, honestly, okay, this war is probably will be in and out. Just be in and out.
You know, maybe
you
know,
what do you mean in and out?
Said in and out. What if he said in and out, and it took 3 weeks longer with all these whining Americans that we've had to deal with because it's taken too long?
A lot of the guys in the Middle East what are fighting in the Marines shoot themselves in the foot so they can come home. Should they get money?
Yes.
Oh, will you come on?
Yes. I can't
they
listen
do.
To this anymore. You know, that's
should
what you're
why
doing
don't I
right
get
now.
I should shoot you're, myself?
Well, what are you doing right now, whining over a couple dollars?
No, ma'am. Right now, I got to go down. I got to get a boat part with Kippinger. Then we're going to come back. We got to refit a guy's propeller because he's going to Mexico.
She didn't mean what are you doing specifically. She meant what are you doing right now to help your country? Our guys are coming home. They went over. They did the do, baby. And you lost $200 in an office pool, sir. I think you know, you admit that it's a little silly, right?
Well, no, I'm saying it's nothing compared to the soldiers. But there are some soldiers that don't do that much.
Oh, well, so
see?
What? They're over there doing their part, too.
Well,
and I'd like to make one more point to you.
Uh-huh.
I think you need the $200, because I think somebody with your mentality needs all the schooling they can get. Hey, Phil Hendry.
Well, you know.
I'm going to hang up.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. you're all wrong.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Doubter. Those Who Suffer in Silence is the organization. We'll take some more phone calls at 1-800-449-8686. He lost $200 in an office pool predicting which day Baghdad would fall because he predicted 5 days late. I'm going to have to ask him, but he didn't predict the right day. He feels the government should compensate him for that because he was lied to by Colin Powell and Tommy Franks. The war took a lot quicker than they said it would. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to continuous coverage of the war in Iraq here on The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Show is back. 1-800-449-8668.
I think a lot of Americans have made some major adjustments because of this war. And it's time we spoke up, the government explained itself. It's giving money to the military families who are related to the soldiers. And I don't want to say nothing bad, but a lot of those soldiers have shot Iraqi civilians. And I know that...
Hold on for a minute. You're not going to start talking about our soldiers shooting civilians on this show and tell me they don't deserve their money.
No, no, but I know they didn't mean to. I know they didn't mean to.
I don't care whether they meant to or not. You're going to talk... You're not talking about that.
But I entered an office pool, and I knew that I was doing that, and I think it's him the critical about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's move over here to Jody. Hi, Jody. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I cannot believe that these men and women are over there fighting, giving up their lives for this guy's freedom, and he has the nerve to want to blame the government because he is stupid enough to put $200 in a pool.
I don't blame the government, except that they
said... Well, why should the government give you any money for your stupidity? I guarantee you those soldiers are not making enough money for doing what they're doing.
But they're getting more than $200. Okay.
They did not tell you to put your $200 in there. Have you lost your mind?
No, ma'am. All I've said...
See, the point we're trying to make to you, Mr. Doubter...
Well, Mr. Henry, I can only talk to one person at a time. If the two of you are going to gang up on me, I think this forum's not very fair. And the point that I'm trying to make is, I did not say that the government forced me to do it. What I did say was that they lied to me.
And so they owe you money for your stupidity.
What?
They owe you money for your own stupidity. They did not tell you to bet.
Ma'am, the government gives money to businesses that go under. It gives money to...
But they don't give it to gamblers?
Student loans.
Gamblers?
It was an office pool. It's not gambling.
It's gambling. What world are you living in? These men and women are fighting and dying, and they are not getting paid enough, and you're worried about a $200. You're whining over a $200 bet that you were stupid enough to make.
Well, ma'am, that's about the ninth time you've used the word stupid, and I'm not calling you no names.
But, you know, it is stupid. It is stupid.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Some of those guys are sitting over in Iraq getting a suntan, and yet they're going to get my $200. I would have had at least bumped up my bet to April if Donald Rumsfeld had been honest enough, but
Those men are sitting over there dodging bullets for your freedom.
Ma'am, I understand that, but Rumsfeld is the problem. I would have bumped my bet up to April.
Oh, good.
Okay.
My goodness.
It's hypocritical. They get money and hurt people.
Oh, will you stop?
My goodness. Well, why don't you go join in, and maybe they'll pay you.
What?
Go join the service.
What?
I mean, if you're so worried about this $200, go do something for your country.
About what?
You're worried about $200 that you made on a stupid bet. So I'm telling you, if you want money, go join the service. They'll pay you.
Also, those soldiers, did you see the pictures of them sitting on Saddam's gold toilet and stuff?
Absolutely, I did.
They're squeezing one out on a gold toilet seat, and I'm sitting here $200 lighter.
Oh, jeez.
What
that
difference?
That is insane.
What difference
does it make?
You know
what? Those gold toilets belong to the Iraqi people. And if the Americans go in there and use them, after going across that desert for days and days being shot at, they deserve it.
No kidding. And take a shower, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't not deserve it. I'm just saying
you want your $200 because you made a stupid bet.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. I think that's the bottom line. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Small business loans are given out, Mr. Doubter, and student loans are given out and some of the other things that you mentioned. But the government is trying to help the families of our military as much as they can. You were involved in an office pool. You lost your money. And you're saying you lost it based upon information that was given to you by Donald Rumsfeld and by other members of the media.
That is, by the government. And also, and I think I have to say it, and I don't mean any, and you didn't want me to say it, but I think I should say it. The soldiers have been shooting and killing people, and yet they get paid. All I did was make a bet.
They're supposed to shoot and kill people.
Yes, they are. okay, technically, but it's still morally wrong for them to do it.
So you're better than them.
I wouldn't say that.
But that's what you're saying. You're better than them. So you ought to get your $200 that you lost in an office pool quicker than the soldiers in Iraq should get their money, because they're shooting and killing people, and that's immoral.
It is against the Bible. Yeah. It is against the Bible.
Are you a Christian, sir?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kimberly. Kimberly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
I just wanted to ask, or I know it's not a question and answer session, I mean, but this guy's wanting reimbursement for our government for making an invalid prediction, for lack of better terms. And, you know, is he also going to want money from our editors who predict ball games incorrectly? I mean, if you go into one office pool, you go into multiple.
Because
that's
a private business. That's a private business. But General Bush,
a private business?
Yeah.
Do you really think that our military government went in there knowing it was going to end on a particular day?
No,
sir,
but
this war is not over.
No, ma'am, but the fall of Baghdad's what the bet was about. And no, but they knew this was going to be pretty sweet.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
What do you mean, sweet?
Oh, they had it. With everything that they had, they knew they'd go in and just, you know, roll over them.
Yeah.
How could they not?
And you're saying that, you know, one guy knows one ball, you know, one team knows is going to win. And who says that you don't make a bet against the opposing team? Yeah, I'm curious.
What?
I'm curious of your pool. How many of you are really having this complaint? I mean, if it's the whole gamut, go ask the guy for your money back.
What?
Had you won the money, you wouldn't be on the Phil Hendry Show.
Right. Exactly. Hold. Thank you very much, Kimberly. Hold on, Mr. Doubter. 1-800-449-8686. Should the government compensate people who've lost office pools predicting the fall of Baghdad? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Jeff Doubter. He's formed a loose organization of people called Suffering in Silence. People who have lost money because of this war and are not getting compensated the way the soldiers do. I want to be very clear. Do you think you're equal to our fighting men?
No, sir, I do not. But I'm just saying, I entered an office pool based upon what I had been told by the military. And I said June 1st. That's my pick. Some people said the end of April. Some guys said that it would be December 9th. So there's quite a bit of, you know, kind of a differentiation. And the problem is that this war was conducted, I think, in a way that imperiled the troops' lives. I mean, it was conducted too fast for average Americans who may be involved in this kind of recreation, office pools, and the like, to make extra income by winning the pools. Okay.
Well, wars vary in length.
I understand, but I did research. The Gulf War lasted 42 days. World War II lasted between September 1st of 1939 to May 3rd of 1945. That was 2,406 days. But the technology today is better. That's why wars don't last 2,000 days anymore, because of the technology. And I took a lot of these variances, and as a result, I said June 1st, and I got taken down to the tune of $200.
Do you honestly believe the U.S. government should cover this money that you lost as they send battle pay to the troops?
I do. And I realize to a lot of Americans it doesn't sound right, but there is precedent, as I said.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Miriam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Miriam?
Yes?
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. My name is Miriam. I'm calling from Miami. I'm not a fully American citizen, but I live here. I do have a nephew that is in the front lines in the Marines, and I don't know if this is a prank that you have with this guy on the line, but if it's not, okay, just now I just heard him saying something, that the Gulf War lasted 45 days, the Vietnam War. I want
to know 42 days.
How did you last it with your IQ of zero? How have you lasted to survive in this world, okay, for this long?
What do you
mean? You talk about morals. Do you know what that word means? Because you have none, okay? You have none. morals, how can you come and say that they don't have morals because they go and they have to defend themselves by killing whoever is threatening their lives, okay? But you think that moral is for you to come and bet on their lives here for $200?
Well,
I think that you are a parasite, but even you are not worth $200 because I don't think your mom, okay, will think that your life is worth $200.
I think that you're a parasite.
I think that you need to get your butt over there and work.
If you think that you are
such a macho guy, okay, I'll gladly, when my nephew comes back, I'll give you one of his uniforms, and I want you to go and do what he did. You just love that you live in the United States, okay? And they're giving their life for you to come and open your mouth and have all the crap that comes out of it, okay?
Well, first of all...
You are insulting the families, the moms and dads and sisters of every soldier, okay, that have died in this war.
Well, that's a good
You're
point.
You're insulting... No, they're doing it, what? Okay? You're insulting the American troops, you're insulting the British troops, and you're insulting the poor Iraqi, innocent Iraqi people.
May I say something, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry, could I say something?
Go ahead.
I'd like to ask the lady if her nephew's uniform is from Taco Bell.
No,
she said he's in the military.
He wouldn't be in the front line, okay?
Oh, he's in the Army.
He wouldn't be in the front line.
What do you mean, is it from Taco Bell?
Well, I didn't know what it was.
Didn't I just say, you know, sir?
No,
Mr.
you
Henry,
said he wore a uniform.
You need to cut him off the. You need to cut him off the air, okay?
And secondly,
because if I knew where you live, at my 5 feet 2 inches, 110 pounds, I would go and slap you silly.
Wait a second.
That's what an imbecile you are. Okay?
Cinderella Rice said that the war would take longer. Now it's
How
not.
How can you go and bet on anything? How can you bet on anything like that? How can you bet on anything like that?
Because it was the like office pool.
Why don't you? Okay, you know what? I'll put on my visa at one-way ticket for you to go and live in Iraq. I'll find out where Saddam Hussein is, and I'll send you to live with him, okay?
Why would I want to live there?
That's where you deserve to be.
Why would
That's
I want to live there?
To be.
They
I
don't
come
have
from a country.
Boston
I
market.
Come from a. Listen to me. I come from a country which we've had a dictatorship.
Which
okay?
one? Which one?
In Nicaragua. I come from Nicaragua. Okay, so you
where?
Don't know crap. You don't know anything.
You know Costa Rica?
Oh, do you know where that is? Don't?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you
couple
know
of friends of mine. Couple friends of mine surf Costa Rica, and they said it's sweet.
Yeah.
They surf Costa Rica.
They don't have a dictatorship. They don't even own a military thing. Okay. Because they're
well, all right,
completely
Miriam,
democratic.
Miriam, you've made a very good point, and
I
also.
I think you need to cut him off.
What is
okay?
that?
I'm gonna
is,
hang up.
What is that sound?
What?
Is that guy's phone?
What,
I don't know
what
where
are you
he's
doing?
Calling from. I hope he's hiding. I'm going to hang up because
all right,
I don't
dear, thank
have
you. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much
Bye-bye.
For your call.
Yeah. Does your son work at Taco Bell?
It's her nephew. 1-800-449-8686. Damaris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Your caller is probably one of the biggest jerks I've ever heard. Number one, I don't know what kind of people work in his office, but I'm appalled that they would even conduct a pool like that. Number two,
well, I work for Delcott Marina Sales in Marina Del Rey.
I'm talking. This guy claims that he is a Christian. Well, I don't know
yes,
any
I
Christian
am.
That gambles, and they especially don't make bets on people's lives.
What?
So,
no, I didn't
I
say about lives.
I don't know what
lives.
Church he's going to, but if he would have put as much energy into doing research and doing something worthwhile to serve his country,
well, first of
he
all,
did in making in doing research,
Marina
excuse me,
and
in doing research,
you never
to
been
find
in a pool?
Out how long the Vietnam
you
War
made
lasted,
the pool worth a thousand
then
bucks.
This country would be a better place. But obviously, this guy has no life. And
I'm
he's got to invest it in researching the length of the Vietnam War to make his bet.
I'm a Christian, okay, number one.
Then can you pronounce Bible correctly?
What's that, man?
Then can you try to pronounce Bible correctly?
I did pronounce it correctly. I said, well...
You said Bible.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
You said, sir...
I said Bible. You said Bible.
Bible.
I said Bible.
Uh-huh.
Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what,
Christians
does that make you a genius?
Better.
Okay, you're a genius. What do you mean Christians don't bet? I don't know what book you're reading. I read the Bible. And it says right there that Jesus changed the water into wine.
And how is that betting?
It's drinking.
How is that betting?
Oh, God. All right. Thank you very much, Damaris. 1-800-449-8686. Adela, go ahead.
General Bush isn't a Christian either.
Hey, look, what you got to do is go get yourself a better job and stop gambling, because those who gamble have to, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And when you lose, you have to shut up and take it. Take it as a man. You're man enough to do the research. You're man enough to go ahead and gamble. Then you be man enough and shut the hell up and stop blaming the poor Americans who are out there fighting for the world, fighting for peace everywhere.
Have you ever been in an office pool before? In an office pool? No, you haven't. You don't know what an office pool is because you're not from America.
Who said I'm not from America?
You came from Puerto Rico.
I am not Puerto Rican.
Didn't you say that?
No, she didn't.
No, I did not.
No.
Well,
I have not said that at any point. An office pool, no matter how you look at it, is gambling.
Where are you from?
I am from Miami.
Yeah,
and you
sure.
are just a lazy, down person who would rather have it easy.
You sound
and
like you come. You sound
well,
like you come
you
from some kind of an island.
Pardon me?
You sound like you come from some kind of an island.
Look at where are we going with this conversation? The government is not going to compensate you for your bet. The government isn't going to do that.
Well, Mr. Henry, then there's going to be trouble.
You guys get compensated. Go work.
I work at Delcott Marina Sales. And I scrub the barnacles off of boats.
Well, then maybe you should scrub some more in your free time. See and find out who else wants you to do some extra work for them. And go make a decent living instead of just wanting to take the money away from the government that's putting the food in so many people's mouths that need it a lot more than you do.
Could you repeat that?
Never mind. Thank you very much. Let's go over to Jeremy on the Phil Henry Show. Jeremy?
Yeah, this guy over here talking about how the government not paying back his money is lost.
Yeah, because it was an office pool, and I predicted June 1st.
Well, speaking of morally right, you shouldn't even been betting on it in the first dang place. And if somebody, you're talking about how our soldiers over are shooting and killing people, if somebody's shooting at me, you damn right, I'd be shooting back. And them idiots ought to be.
Why?
Over.
Why would you?
Why would I?
Yeah.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't be over there in the first place.
Look, I'm not going to argue. I ain't arguing the merits of the Iraq War, okay? I'm just saying the government ain't going to pay you back for your small business loan. What is that?
What?
I think that dude's hitting a bong or something, man.
What?
Are you here? Are you smoking dope?
Gotta be.
Okay.
Gotta be.
Since when's that against the law?
It's against the law in the state of Arkansas.
Hey, buddy, why don't you just go finish shaving your pigs and let me have a bong hit in peace?
Hey.
Yeah.
I got your pig right here, buddy.
If you were in Iraqistan, would you think that your squirrel gun could kill an Iraqi? No.
Hey, we have a little more squirrel guns over here, buddy.
Get some shoes and a big straw hat and go squirreling.
I might do that. I like squirrel hunting.
Yeah,
like squirrel,
I'll bet you make soup out of it and everything.
Oh,
but
what?
You're over there fighting for the Iraqi freedom, which I think is right. And if you got my opinion in it, everybody that's supporting Saddam, kill them. I don't care.
You got one of them Davy Crockett
it's a
hats?
Dictatorship.
Okay. I gotta take a break. Jesus. Stupid. You still there?
Yeah.
What happened to the sound effects? All right, well, there he goes. And I don't think he'll be seeing his $200. $200 because they figured they'd be landing on April the 12th. Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Margaret Gray in... where is she? She's talking to Syria, trying to find Saddam Hussein. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The other day, Margaret Gray, I put Margaret up to a call. And by the way, I just did the voice there of Jeff Dowder. I put Margaret Gray up to calling the Côte d'Azur Cham Hotel in Latakia, Syria, to try and track down Saddam Hussein. So she was pretending like she was going to be a tourist in Syria. Now, she was not happy with me. She was rather angry with me. And you'll hear how it all played out here in this Phil Hendry Archive Comedy Gold.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I'm calling internationally, and I don't know if I'll get the hotel Côte d'Azur residence in Syria. Good morning. This is the United States calling. Is this the hotel Côte d'Azur?
Yes,
I wanted to ask you about some amenities, if I could.
Sorry?
Could I have your concierge, please? I want to ask about amenities.
What you want?
Yes, I'd like to talk to you about the features in your hotel. I'm coming to Syria in a month on a book tour, and I wanted to know what your hotel has, should I decide to stay there. That's all I'm asking.
Reserve here?
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation there. Should I get the front desk, sir?
So, one room, $76.
I see, $76. Do you have continental breakfast?
What in months?
I'd like to stay for 2 weeks. I'll be in and around the Latakia area. Then I'll be traveling on to Damascus. I'd like to be there in early September 2003. So that would be between September 1st and September 15th.
Oh, never mind. Call in Damascus, and Cham Hotel in Damascus.
Oh, I see. But
from there.
Yes. All right. But I'd like to stay at your hotel. Are you in Latakia, sir?
Yes. There is a manager there to be the main reservation.
Oh, I see. Can
in
you
Damascus.
Can you give me that number, dear?
Just a moment.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, also a lousy radio bitch.
Shh, just do it, okay?
You know, this is so morning show of you.
Just let me hear.
I feel so stupid. What am I supposed to say to him?
Just let me hear.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hello?
Yes.
223.
223.
23100.
23100.
No. 223.
Yes.
Yeah, again, 223.
Yes.
2300.
2300. Thank you very,
in
very
much. In Damascus.
Yes, I'll call Damascus forthwith. Thank you so much.
Yeah, reservation, yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I had Szechuan chicken. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what do you want me to do?
All right, hang up.
You know something, Phil? Getting sucked into your stupid little phone games.
I just want to see what the guy is saying, because that's where Saddam Hussein is supposed to be saying.
Oh, okay. Hi, is Saddam Hussein staying there? God damn you. Should I start calling you Mr. D's?
Look it, Margaret.
Oh, okay, Rick.
I wanted to find out.
Yeah, Rick, is it 59 D's Grease right now?
I just want to know if the guy was there.
You didn't want to know if the guy was there. You wanted to mess with a poor civil servant, some poor night clerk in a hotel someplace in Syria. That's what you wanted to do. And
no, I did not. I wanted to, you know...
You wanted to make a fool out of a man that works for a living. That's what you wanted to do. And sure, Phil, he'll connect you right to Saddam Hussein's room. Hold on, please, while you make an ass out of me. Well, I tell you what, Rick, I got to be going now, and...
Okay, Ellen.
You really know how to hit below the belt, don't you?
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. It is kind of a dopey morning show instinct, isn't it? Get a phone number and call it. Let's see if he's there. Hi, everybody. Hey, right now, you're not going to believe this, but we got a hold of the phone number of Saddam Hussein. Holy Jesus. Let's call up and see. Hello, is this Saddam Hussein?
Yes, this is Saddam Hussein, you American pig.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Now visit our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and pick up two new additions to our souvenir shop. We have the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police Traveling Mug. We have the Get My Mug on Your Mug Latte Mug, the Phil Hendry Show mug. And then, of course, we have our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Bowling shirt. We have the official Phil Henry Show t-shirt. And our latest in our clothing line, of course, the Western Estates Club Country Club Homeowners Association polo shirt designed by Bobby Dooley herself. Great gift ideas for the man in your life. When's Father's Day? Is that June? All right, that's early. Yeah, get it now. When is it, Janice? June? Get your Father's Day gifts now, and you don't have to go anywhere else. You do all your Father's Day shopping at the Phil Henry Souvenir Shop and our Phil Henry Show website. PhilHendrieShow.com. Totally secured site, by the way, for use of your credit cards. And don't forget our Best Of CDs, too, to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We'll be back with more of the war, too, on the Phil Henry Show.